because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, time's flying again already. Look down here, it's the third day of December. I don't know where November went. I sort of remember October. I vaguely remember September as we count back down. My, time flies. Does it not? I'm kind of wound up, kind of in control today. We'll see where the program's going to go. I got really, really in a bad mood as I was watching Mike Heath's opening to Mike Heath's show today. I don't know if you guys watch Mike or not. Polly Heath is dealing with some medical issues, going to require some chemotherapy for Polly. And Mike is part of, I believe it's Samaritan. I may have the right one, wrong one, which is one of these, they call it care sharing, right? So in other words, everybody, here's how it works. Before I got old, went on Social Security or Medicaid, whatever they call that, Michelle still has what they call Samaritan. And what happens is every month, her $240, $244 premium, whatever it is sent to somebody, another family that's in need. It's called a sharing network. Mike and Polly are part of that process. Again, I think it's Samaritan. There are others. And so they faithfully pay their $244, actually probably $488. It's double for, maybe it's a little cheaper for a couple, maybe $450 a month for medical care. And then when they need it, Mike and Polly are being told that, this might be a pre-existing condition and maybe they're not going to pick it up. But see, the way it works is every month I get a letter from Samaritan, tells me where to send Michelle's $244. We send it to somebody who's just had some type of medical procedure. We send it to them. And the house, the Samaritan who run the whole thing, have made the determination with Mike and Polly that they're not going to post their need because it may be a pre-existing condition. The church is so much like the world. Well, you know why the church is so much like the world? Because Christians are so much like the world. Christians are so much like the world. And I got off on a bad mood today when I was reading just a couple things on the internet. Really, really ticked me off. You know, Mike and Polly Heath, you know, if they had loafed their whole lives, if Mike had just been a bum who went around and slept around a lot of women and ate and got real fat and watched pornography and just sat around, let life go to hell, you know, his medical expenses be free. They'd be free. Yeah, welfare, they'd pick it up for him. But because Mike's been, you know, done everything the right way, good Christian man, done everything the right way, paid all of his bills, yada, yada, yada. Taking care of himself, then Mike, thank you for being such a good citizen. You got to pay for everything. We're going to let these other people who don't do anything, they can all have it free. See, this stuff begins after some point as a Christian man. Now, hear me. We're going to have to deal with these issues, folks. We're going to have to deal with these. See, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Basically, it says that. I don't know if it says exactly like that, but it says, he who doesn't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. And we see a lot of people who are now under government aid. Now, listen, I'm not making anybody mad because it's me, okay? Me. You know, they made me join Medicare. They made me. They said, no, you're 65. You have to join. I said, well, I don't want to join. I want to stay with Samaritan. No, you have to join it. Well, I don't want to join it. Yeah, you have to. I have to? Yeah, you have to. Does who? Says the government. Well, I don't want to join. Well, you have to. Have to. And I know this, that I didn't have any. Anyway, I don't. At some point, friends, I'm just telling you, we're just going to have to stand up and we're going to have to face this beast. We're just going to have to face it. This government beast, this unrighteous government beast that, can I tell you the truth? It enslaves all of us. It enslaves all of us. And if you were not, you, whoever you are, if you were not working, if you were working and not paying so much in taxes, Do you have any idea how much stuff that you would have that you'd be able to help the poor and the needy? Do you understand? That the government comes in and takes probably 40, I'm guessing now, probably 40% of what you, that would be a fair assessment, wouldn't it? Throwing all the taxes you pay, property taxes, all the taxes, the government's probably, it's probably eating up 40% of your paycheck. Probably is. There's no way out of it. You can't opt out of it. You can turn into a bum and go sleep on the street, and then maybe you'll get something from the government. But doesn't matter. They'll send the bill to Larry, because Larry worked his whole life, did what he's supposed to do, and so they'll just send the bill to Larry. And I'll be able to be a bum and lay around. And see, so at some point, the church is going to have to stand up and have what we call justice. Justice. I hate to keep coming back on that word, right? I hate to keep coming back on it. But see, they've done that Saul of Alinsky thing on us. And what have they done with that Saul of Alinsky thing? They've told us this. They're making us live up to our own values, right? Say, well, you're Christians. You want to give. You want to take care of the needy. You want to take care of the poor. So therefore, we're going to mandate you Christians take care of the needy, take care of the poor. And dumb us. We think that government has the right to force us to take care of the needy and the poor. And so we give the money to them, layers and layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy, people who are now being hired to take care of the sick and the needy and the poor and the downtrodden, a huge, huge social governmental system that's taking 40% of my money and giving it to people who, can I tell you the truth, who much of their sickness is self-imposed. They eat too much. They don't take care of themselves. And I have to pay for it. Folks, that's communism, that's socialism. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are living right in the midst of it. And Mike and Polly Heath would have no problem at all taking care of the medical expenses if it wasn't for the socialist government system that we now have. Now, they don't call it a socialist government system. They made fun of Obamacare. All Obamacare did was really just kind of codify into law what's really going on anyway. It really is. It just irritates me. Forcing me to pay for abortions. Forcing me to pay for a public educational system that there isn't anything about it that I agree with. You with me? Is anybody with me out there? Anybody with me? Forcing me, how many gallons, how much money do I pay per gallon of gasoline to repair of our roads? And I drove down to Cincinnati last week. And it was a bum, bum, all the way down and bum, all the way down. What are they doing with that money? And all that government aid, that's that foreign aid that's going over there. Joe Biden's son's getting all that money. And they're all, where is all that money? And is the government ever going to pay their bills? If the government isn't going to pay their bills, should I have to pay mine? Am I somehow responsible for the government's bills? Am I somehow responsible for the fact that Nancy Pelosi passed some bill and said, yeah, we're going to do that, and Coach Dave's going to pay for it, except we're never really going to pay for it. It's just going to be debt, but we're going to continue to make folks, this is not righteous. It is not righteous. And if the saints don't rise up, see, the saints can't rise up against it. Why? Because the people standing in the pulpit say it's a sin to not pay your taxes. That's how stupid we are. That's how stupid we are. I don't know the answer. I do know the answer. I hear you out there, Don. I hear you out there. It just continues to amaze me. It just continues to amaze me. Money is meaningless. And they just keep you on the treadmill. I'm thinking about my son-in-law and my two son-in-laws, how hard they are, 30 in their 30s, working hard to try to earn and how much they're paying in taxes. And they work and work and work, and they can't get out of the burden of the government. Government loans, government debt, government, every stinking way you look, government schools, government. We're not free. Pull up that Thomas Jefferson quote, Connor. Somebody sent this to me. I can't remember. I just got it today. Thomas Jefferson and the Making of America, page 395. It's coming up on your screen here real quick. I'm sorry. I woke up today in a pretty good mood, although I had something happen last night. You guys ever have it happen? In the middle of the night, bang, I sat straight up in bed. Something woke me, and I don't have any idea what it was. Oh, then I tried to lay down, go back to sleep, and I kept thinking, what was that? What was it that woke me? I don't know whether it was a dream. I don't know. Weird, man. It's weird. Hey, we live in a weird world. If we even understood this world that's around us. My. Thomas Jefferson quote. Are we getting it up there, Connor? I'm not in a very patient mood here this morning. Oh, yes, Roger. Russ Dizdar, not on today. Russ has technical issues. His studio is being refurbished, whatever. He cannot do it today. Texted me late yesterday afternoon, said, sorry, coach, let's do it on next Tuesday. So Russ will be with us next Tuesday. Thanks, Rod. Sorry about that. I should have led with that. Here's what Thomas Jefferson said. I want you to realize this. I don't know this to be, I might have my math wrong. I think when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, somebody can Google this while we're doing this. I think he was in his mid-20s. I think he was like 27 years old or something like that when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Somebody Google it. Check it all out. Here's what Thomas Jefferson had probably, he's probably an old guy. He might have been 35 here when he wrote this. Did you ever think about that? In order to be president of the United States, you have to be 35. Do you have any idea how old 35 was back in 1776? That was an old man, wasn't it? Yeah. Thanks, Chad. And Thomas Jefferson wrote this. And to preserve the independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. If we run into such debts as that we must be taxed in our own meat and in our own drink, in our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements, for our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are, our people like them must come to labor 16 hours in the 24, and give the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses. That's a mic drop right there. That part of a paragraph is a mic drop. And the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread, we must live as they now do, on oatmeal and potatoes, having not time to think, no means of calling the mismanagers to account, but be glad to obtain sustenance by hiring ourselves to rivet their chains on the necks of our fellow sufferers. I don't know what to tell you what to do. I don't know. There's no personal responsibility. I'm going to talk to you here in a minute about another thing going on with the Children's Services, job and families, whatever they call them, Children's Services, as if that's a government's job. But why do we have children that need help from child protective services? Think about that. Child Protective Services. We send them to public schools, and they teach them how to have anal sex, and that's Child Protective Services, right? Words. They're all great with words. And we look around at what's going on all around us. We have very, very little control of what we can do in our own lives, because if you are a husband and a wife with children, you work all the time. And you work all the time, and if you're lucky, you bring home half of it. And if you're anything like me, you're not like me. When you look at your paycheck, all you do is you just look at your take-home. That's all you look at. You build your whole budget on your take-home pay. You say you get $3,000 a month. You say, that's good. But you look and you really should have had $4,500 a month. That other $1,500 went somewhere. And you don't even know. You don't even count it. What would your bank account look like if you had $1,500? Look pretty good, wouldn't it? But you can't do that because they say. As if that's what our money's going to. Boys and girls, I don't know the answer. I don't know the solution. I really, really don't. This can't continue on. Just can't continue on. So I said all that to say this. We don't know yet. Mike and Polly are going to need our help. Mike, come on in here a minute. Tell us what's going on here, Mike. Hey, stop a minute. Stop. See, if you weren't paying so much money in taxes, you'd have all kinds of money to help Mike and Polly. You'd have all kinds. Mike and Polly can't get the money they need because they follow the rules. They raised their children the right way. They lived the right way. And now that they need some medical help, they got to pay for it themselves. Up front, they have to. Right? Oh, what a system. What a great system. So, Mike, do you know how much you need yet?
Well, what's interesting, Coach, I don't know. The short answer to that question is I don't know, because in this new America that we're building for our children and our grandchildren, if you work hard and you want to do the right thing and you want to be responsible for your body and its sicknesses and you want to pay your bills on time and you don't want to take out a home equity loan and you don't want to put it on your credit card and you don't want to go into debt in order to deal with the hospital, then you basically sign up to be your own insurance company and become a bureaucrat and get in line with the government and the insurance companies to negotiate your bill. That's what you do. You become, whether you like it or not, whether you want to do it or not, you become a negotiator. So you better learn how to be a hard butt going in the door and develop those skills, because that's how you get the best deal.
So Mike, but they're calling you ain't even coming in the door unless you got some cash. We ain't letting you in. Now, Mike, Are you an illegal immigrant? Have you snuck across the border? What's happening here, Mike?
Right. Yeah, no, that's they called us yesterday and they said your wife cannot start the treatment that has been recommended by two professionals, an oncologist in Guatemala, an oncologist in America. So we already have two opinions. Both opinions are identical. Both opinions are independent. And both opinions say time is of the essence because it's high-grade serous carcinoma. Do not mess around. With this particular cancer, you have an almost 100% chance of being absolutely cured, according to the statistics and the medical research, if you do what we say, when we say it. And we've done all the research, Coach, and we've decided on Friday that this is the right way to go. This is in this particular specific case, we are convinced that this is what needs to happen. So then they called us yesterday and said, you can't start unless you bring cash.
And they didn't tell you how much.
And they didn't tell us how much. They're supposed to call me today.
And where's Samaritan in all this, Mike? Where's Samaritan? Is that who you have in Samaritan?
I'm still trying to figure out their website. I've got an email into them. I think the need's been approved, but I haven't confirmed it yet. And they're niggling with me over an initial on a form. The point is, and everybody who's done this knows this. You probably know this if you've been with Samaritans or any of these health share groups. And I'm not complaining about them, Coach. I love them. I'm glad they're there. They're filling a need, right? They're filling a need because who can afford insurance anymore? You can't even afford your deductible, for God's sakes, if you've got Obamacare. I had an $8,000 deductible on a hernia surgery, and I went to Guatemala and had the surgery done for a total, including travel, of about $5,000. And, you know, it's ridiculous. The whole system is so broken, but you become your own bureaucrat. You become your own insurance company. It's all about the forms. Every T has to be crossed. Every I has to be dotted with these.
Got to go to some bureaucrat. Got to go to some government bureaucrat. You're paying $60,000 a year to look at that form and approve it or send it to somebody. And it's layers and layers and layers and layers of that kind of bureaucracy. Oh, you can't you just can't go to the doctor down the road and take him a can of beans and he'll do some. Not anymore. It's not like that anymore. See, and we are trapped in this system. And can I tell you the truth again? Christians have allowed us to be trapped in this system. Because, folks, until you understand and we understand that the kingdom of God is within us, that we are the ones who are supposed to, as much as this makes some people nervous, we are the ones who are supposed to be setting the temperature here in this hellish world that we live in. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We're the ones who are supposed to be setting the temple. And instead, we've rejected, we've pulled back, we don't do anything. And then we let the devil mandate how we're supposed to do everything. And Mike Heath, who's worked his whole life being faithful to do what he's supposed to do, can't get medical help because they have to give it to somebody who just came across the border. Now, am I making that up, Mike, or is that kind of the way it is?
No, that's the way it is. And the bottom line is, if Samaritans doesn't come through, then we face debt. We got to do debt. Have to go into debt.
Let her die. Let her die, man. Just let her die. Then you won't have to pay all that debt then.
Yep.
Right. Look at Rusty Thomas. What happened with Rusty's son? I mean, folks, I don't know what. Listen. Can somebody explain to me? Let me back up a second, Mike. I don't know. So the chemotherapy, probably thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, you're smart enough to know that unless it's pure gold, it don't cost thousands and thousands of dollars, right? Unless they're injecting pure gold inside your wife, it doesn't cost thousands and thousands of dollars. It's thousands and thousands of dollars because there's layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy and layers of people who have their fingers in the pie that you've got to pay before you can get the. Yeah, would you agree with that, Mike? Is that what's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a big part of it. Yeah.
I drove right down the other day. I drove right ahead. Folks, if you knew where I live, you could drive right down here and you'd see the Ohio Department of Transportation. It's got this great big, I talked about it the other day, this massive, massive building over there with bureaucrats in there deciding where to paint white lines and deciding what speed limit's going to be here and where the bumps are. What are they possibly doing? Government bureaucrats. Same thing Trump's dealing against, right? So, I'm a little different than everybody else. I'm kind of praying for a government collapse, to be honest with you.
Hey, Coach.
Maybe we can get this thing back under control. Yeah, Larry.
It's not only the government bureaucrats. My golly, just look at the huge, expensive buildings that every insurance company bills for their main headquarters, and then the hundreds and hundreds of buildings around the country that also are you know, by that insurance company and owned by that. When you're buying insurance, you're not buying insurance. You're paying for a kingdom for a bunch of people to live high off the hog with.
Larry, I'm telling you, buddy, if we could ever dive to the bottom of this, see, we're too busy, aren't we? We're too busy. And Mike Heath probably never even thought about the medical system until he's involved in it. Now he's up to his eyeballs in it. Now he sees it everywhere he looks. Said, somebody help me here. Have somebody help me. And all we can do is say, I'll send you 10 bucks, Mike. We'll send 10 bucks. I won't help him. That won't help him. I mean, it will, but that ain't gonna help him. He's caught in that system now, right?
That system. The little microcosm of all this was when I needed help, and how the people in here came through and helped, and then the excess that I hadn't sent back to you yet was sent right on to Mike and Polly when they were down in Guatemala. Now, just, you know, like a bunch of dominoes lined up in a line, they all affect each other. That's the way we need to be, because it worked so well, and it can work.
It can work. It can.
Insurance and taxes trying to outdo each other.
Yeah. And Dale, listen, it's all debt. It's all debt. Every bit of it's debt. Our entire system is debt. Michael Bloomberg has, like, what'd they say? 12 billion, something unbelievable. I wonder how much debt he has. And if the economy crashes, and that he owns that $1 billion building, and that economy crashes, I wonder what that $1 billion building will be worth, right? It's all racket. It's all racket. It's the worldly system that the Lord warned us about. But friends, you better understand this. People say we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Hey, dude, even though you're not of the world, doesn't mean you ain't in it. Everything that goes on in this world impacts you. Everything it does. And why we would allow the Christian influence to be taken out of our government and out of this world, let the Christian influence be taken out so we can live under the devil, has got to be one of the greatest deceptions in the history of the world. That we would think that ungodly men working for the devil would somehow give Americans a fair deal, a fair shake. It's. Hey, go to my Facebook page. I got to show you this. Hang in there, Keith. I'm going to bring you in here. I got a lot of them. Hey, hang on. Todd Barnes back in the hospital. Gallbladder, they think. They're not sure. It's in horrible pain. They took him in the middle of the night the other day. They think it's gallbladder. I haven't heard anything this morning. It's what we got last night. So pray for Todd. Pray for Denny Bryan. Michelle talked to Denny yesterday, and Denny's getting better. He's on a special medicine, and he's getting a little bit of his strength back. So keep Denny up there in Iowa in your mind. Mel Freund, a lot of you don't even know Mel. Mel's a faithful guy that's in here every day, and he's fighting all kinds of stuff. And Jennifer Heath, and I could go on with people that are just fighting that freaking devil, just fighting that devil and fighting this ungodly system, taking in medicines and pharmakia that just makes us sick. They tell us it's going to save us, but it kills us on the way. And they're giving us food that is poison. Look, I don't know what to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Go to my Facebook page. Are you there, Connor? Scroll down. I saw this yesterday. Don Jakeway died. You say, who's Don Jakeway? That's the problem. Don Jakeway. It's right there on your screen right now. I knew Don, but not real well. I just knew of him. He just died. He was 95 years old, 90-something like that. But I was reading this yesterday. Don's the one with the red patch on his arm there. And Don died yesterday, and I read his obituary. And that's why folks, you got to hear this. Can you click on that for me, Connor's obituary? Click right there, see more. Get it up, make it large so I can read. I want you to listen to this and ask yourself, what happened to America? At 2 a.m. this morning, we lost one of our dear friends and hero, Sergeant Don Jakeway. Don was a WW2 veteran of the 82nd Airborne Division and part of the 508th Parachute Regiment, H Company. Listen. He jumped into France in the dark on the morning of June 6th in advance of the Normandy invasion, landing in a tree outside the town of Saint-Mère-Église, France. He went on to jump into Holland on September 17th, 1944. He was severely wounded in Holland and evacuated to a hospital. After his recovery, he ended up, folks, listen, parachutes in, then they take him, make him jump again. He gets hurt, evacuated to the hospital. After his recovery, they don't send him home. He ends up in the Battle of the Bulge in December of 1944, where he was shot in the lung by a German sniper. En route to the field hospital, he became the lone survivor when his ambulance crashed and ended up upside down in a creek. He was rescued and transported to a field hospital by passing American soldiers who spotted the wreckage in the creek. He later recovered and was released from the hospital on August 25th, 1945. Don was a highly decorated WW2 American soldier whose many awards include the Legion of Honor, France's highest decoration. Don, after surviving the war, vowed to give back to his, included the Legion of Honor's highest, and his other obituary. Let me finish. Don, after surviving the war, vowed to give back to his community and did so in ways too numerous to list. And over the years, he and his family have become one with my family. He made his final jump and will be desperately missed. Four Bronze Stars, two Purple Hearts. To see Mike and Polly Heath not be able to have medical insurance. Do we find men like that today? Are there men like that today? Scroll down there, Connor. Listen, I'm not saying this. I knew Don Jakeway, but I didn't really know Don. Go back to the top, Connor. I'm sorry. I didn't really know Don Jakeway. I didn't really know him. Click on him there as a young 20-year-old guy going into the service. Right there, click on that. Huh? Jumped out of a parachuted into a tree. Parachuted into the Battle of Bulge. Shot in the lung on the way to the hospital. The ambulance got flipped over into the water, killed everybody in the water but him. Can you imagine laying in there? Can you imagine me laying in there with your lung perforated? Everybody around you dying, upside down in water. Can you imagine that hell? Somebody comes along and rescues you. Most everyone can go to school board and complain for 3 minutes. So I don't know why I brought it up there, just to honor Don Jakeway and those guys who here gave their lives that this nation might live. And the mess that we find ourselves in now is just...
Sometimes our coffee's cold at Starbucks.
That's right.
And we get all upset. You know, I mean, look at what he went through.
Imagine that. Can you imagine any one of those things? Can you imagine parachuting anywhere at dark? Anywhere? Especially a place where you don't get, especially a place that you've never been, where people maybe have guns and are going to be shooting at you. Don't have any idea where you land, where you're going to be. Don't know anything about it. You talk about some cojones. By the way, he volunteered. They shot him up and went back and did it again. Kind of humbles me. So we're in a mess, boys. We're in a mess. I'm not trying to. God, Jesus is the answer. I get tired of even saying that, too.
Hey, Coach, take a look at what I'm trying to think of the verse. Is it John 15:13? No greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. His friends.
Four different times, man. Four different times.
Amen. You know, what do men like this look like in our time, Coach?
Put him back up there.
What do men look like this in our time, right? Well, what did Jamie Walden do? He got home. What did he do? He went back unarmed.
Yep.
Back into the fray, didn't he?
Yeah. But we love our lives too much right now. Let's see. We ought to be raising hell. Wherever it is, Polly Heath is trying to get medical care. We ought to have 1,000 people out there just freaking pounding those doors down. You mean to tell me the Heaths? It enrages me. It enrages me. And Mike can go to a local church and ask for a little bit of He didn't tell me to say this, all right? And go to a local church and ask for money, and they'll send him $1.25 because they just put a bunch of money into the parking lot. They just paved their parking lot. Just bought themselves a new smoke machine.
Yeah, let me follow up here. I could take this in a couple of different directions. I could talk about, because you have really intrigued my mind with what's going on, what happened at Gettysburg, and the 25,000+ people that died in the day, and those strong men, and what it took. But I want to go back to Mike. What is it that we can do from this point forward to begin create? What can we do?
To help Mike?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, Bobby. We're already behind the eight ball. See, here's what I mean. We should already have the finances to help you. We should already have it, right? But we don't. We don't. Why don't we? Well,
focus fundraising, Coach.
Yeah, focus fundraising.
I mean, that's a goal, but it's a whole process behind it. And I know these men give whenever things come up, but you're doing some great work. It's just you're right, Coach. We're behind the ball.
We're way behind it, man. Because Mark, we sit here right now and we know this. Hey, boys and girls, I don't want to give you a shock. Okay, things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better, and we're no more prepared. We are no more prepared.
Amen.
They just are, and. Hey, Mike, I want you to read your word today. It was good today. I'm going to stay with me, folks. I'm going to go this Sunday. I'm flying back to Helena, Montana, because children's services have stolen children again. We'll talk about that here in a second and our emergency trip back to Helena, Montana. I got Keith in here who's going to help us tell that story. What do we do? Right? Where are the Don Jaques? We're the Christian Don Jaques today. This crap's going on. It's going on in our local communities. It's going on everywhere. They're molesting kids. CPS stealing kids. It's stuff just going on and on and on. And we don't care. Why don't we care? Because it comes back to what I started with, what Thomas Jefferson said. They got you working 16 hours a day because you're paying for 2/3 of the people who don't have a freaking job or won't work the job. When we stand up and say, hey, pardon me here, boys, that ain't Christian. That isn't Christian. Helping people be successful in their laziness, that isn't Christian, folks. That's not Christian. I have enough time paying for my own family, let alone paying for my neighbor's family. That's not Christian. It's voluntary. If I want to help my neighbor's family, I'll help them. If I want to help Mike Heath, I'll help him. But I don't want the government telling me I got to help Mike Heath. Wait, worse than that. I don't want the government saying, give us your money and we'll decide whether we'll help Mike Heath or not. Oh, we can't help Mike. We got to give it to these Muslims who snuck across the border. Sorry, Mike. We got to help these people over here. Folks, that ain't Christian. They can tell you in your church that's Christian. That isn't Christian. That's not. Hey, that ain't Christian. Sorry. That's thievery. Robbing from Peter to pay Paul. That's thievery. That ain't Christian. Hey, illegals that come across the board. Illegal. You ever heard that word? Illegal. 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 They are by the very action breaking the law. We don't reward lawbreakers. We don't reward lawbreakers. Mike and Paula Heath have obeyed the law. They've done it right. Sorry, Mike, no money for you. We got to give it to Hermie over here. We got to give it to Pablo. Can't give it to Mike and Paula. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you it's the way it is. Pay my gas tax and then got to get my shocks redone when I drive down the regular highway. Somebody say amen out there. Get on your freeway and drive down your freeway and tell me it's not a bumper ride. Why? Got all that gas tax, where's it gone? And all that foreign aid, where's it gone? See, at some point, I don't care. I'm sorry. At some point, we're just going to say, no more. Not for me. I'm not going to pay into the unrighteous, ungodly system for them to do ungodly, unrighteous things with. I will not do. I will not be part of it. I'll go to jail. I'll die before you force me to continue to do that. I'll die a free man before I continue to do this. See, we're not pissed off enough. It pisses me off, sorry, that they're doing this to the Heaths. That we're in this situation. Sorry. Yeah, legislate bestiality.
All right, let me follow up on your anger, Coach. Listen, there's 40. How many people are in this queue right now? We got 43 people. I'll just go with 40. I'll fluctuate. Everybody has a hard time. But listen, somebody could cut off the TV for a month, whatever. Why can't these 40 people in here, each one of us donate $100? That's $4,000 right off the top. There's no reason all of us can't donate $100. We could. Somebody could pull that out of their rear end if they learn to control themselves. I don't care about your cigarettes. Let's just keep it real. I don't care about your cigarettes. And there's all kinds of other stuff that I don't care about. Somebody could pull out $100. We got 40 people. We got $40,000. We got $4,000 right now. And that's a beginning. That's all I got to say about that.
Helping Hands. Helping Hands Ministry. Give that website, Mike. Helping Hands. You're muted.
It's michaelheath.org, Coach. It's michaelheath.org.
Michaelheath.org. Because here's the next thing. Then the government's going to want to know, where'd you get all that money, Mike? Who'd they give it? Do you have an accounting for every cent that these people gave you, Mike? They have it. Did you send them a receipt, Mike? Did you send them, Did you do that, Mike? Meanwhile, the corrupt government is lying, stealing, and cheating everywhere they want to. But see, their job is to try to, See, you better understand this. They want to police the law abiding. There's so much law breaking going on, they can't do anything about it. But they just got to keep those of you who follow the law, they got to keep you in line. If they can keep you in line, then maybe they have a chance. Because most of America is out of control. Most of America is. They can keep you in line. Mike, you save those receipts. And you make sure you report to the IRS every cent you got. Every penny that some American sent you, you make sure that you better be able to show us where that went. And we're okay with it, right, folks? We're okay with it.
I know it's a little slower, but why don't we just mail in cash? I mean, can he work around it that way?
Listen, I don't even care. See, that's my point. Hey, Mike, don't save any of the damn receipts, okay? Don't save any of them. Don't give them it. You won't know what I say. Ain't none of their business. That's what I think. They inserted themselves into something that they don't even deserve to have. It ain't none of their business. That's my take. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I got to draw the line someplace. Oh, I'm boiling. So, Mike, read what you wrote today. Mike Heath's word. I heard it on his show this morning, and it was pretty profound. And listen, here's what I know. You don't know, and I don't know what Mike and Polly Heath are walking through. You don't know, and I don't know. You don't know, and I don't know the pressures associated with it. You don't know, and I don't know. We know that the Lord's grace is sufficient, but that don't make the ride any easier. That didn't, knowing I'd paid my taxes, didn't make my bumpy ride down to Louisville any less bumpy. The reality of it was, it's bumpy. It's bumpy. Mike wrote today, the frozen chosen. Go ahead, Mike.
Was triggered by Jesus's words in Luke. Everything's been entrusted to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Maybe you've heard the quip about liturgical churches. Raucous brands of Christianity refer to those churches as the frozen chosen. I'm using the term to refer to Western Christianity.
Amen.
Divided into two large groups, Protestant and Catholic, Western Christianity has devolved into something more akin to frozen Americanism than religion.
Yes, sir.
The West is frozen in its chosenness. We are stuck thinking that we're the best because we're American. It's not patriotism. We're proud in an evil sort of way, and Europe channels us. At the heart of all religions are the mysteries. At the heart of Christianity is this idea of being chosen by God. Billions of people on earth choose not to follow Jesus Christ. They are not Christians. And Jesus Christ himself lets us off the hook for this reality. Christians have no duty to market Jesus Christ to those who don't know him. Luke wrote of Jesus, "No one knows the Father except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him."
Wow, that's interesting.
We don't get to know who the Son chooses. Christians have a duty to live as Christians and to open the door of the church to those Christ chooses. I want everyone to know Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter, however, is that Jesus Christ does the choosing. Not my job to decide who gets in and who doesn't. my job is to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And that takes a lifetime of hard work and prayer.
Amen.
Western Christians are frozen in the idea that we are chosen. Europe was first to tech. Innovations, experimentation, and hard work over the past 500 years established the West in creature comforts. Boy, because of our pride and laziness, the fruit of those comforts is increasingly rotten. It stinks to high heaven, in fact. The beauty and virtue in Western culture is no longer cultivated. I think I saw that France is considering installing a swimming pool in the roof of a rebuilt Notre Dame Cathedral.
Wow.
What's left of what's worth preserving is being turned into cultural manure. It stinks, but it will nurture new sprigs of life. I marvel at the ugliness of the American landscape. Everything is built to accommodate speed and commerce. Nothing is built to last even one lifetime. We organize our material world into something entirely disposable. This fits our increasingly shortened attention spans that demand nanosecond fads and fashions for us to feel psychologically healthy. Attention spans have become so short that it is difficult to have a meaningful conversation or relationship anymore. And with the internet of ugly things dominating our consciousness, we are becoming animals driven by instinct.
Amen.
We've allowed ourselves to be duped into thinking that this ugliness just happens, that nobody is responsible for it. Some Christians excuse it as a consequence of the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. The world is ugly, and we have no duty to fix it, because mankind will be bad, ugly, and fallen until Jesus Christ returns to fix it. This hopelessness is evil. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Amen. Thank God that the Europeans who suffered through plagues, etc., hundreds of years ago didn't think this way. The West wouldn't have their, sorry for this big word, Coach, fecund cultural garden to pervert. That means really beautiful and full of life and energy and beauty. At least there's still examples in music, art, architecture, philosophy, theology, and literature of old Christianity's nourishing cultural fruit in the West. Millions of guilt-laden Westerners are rejecting the ugliness and death of contemporary fashion to rediscover the faith of their fathers. Keenly aware of what I'm talking about here, Frederick William Faber penned a hymn in the 19th century entitled Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. And I close here with it here in its entirety.
Folks, take the time and listen to this, folks. Take the time.
Yeah, this is profound, and it fits perfectly with your theme today. Faith of Our Fathers Living Still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee until death. Our fathers, chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free.
Wow.
And blessed would be their children's fate if they, like them, should die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then indeed be free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee until death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe and all our strife and preach thee too as love knows how by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. That's the old that's the old culture of America from the 19th century.
Don Jakeway. That's Don Jakeway, baby.
That's
old Don Jakeway. Jumping out of an airplane.
Modern Christianity is that we will be true to thee till death part is equated, I'll live to be a ripe old age, happy age, with all my comforts and everything around me because I'm a Christian, and not I'm willing to die early for the Christian cause.
Mm. Hey, dead is dead, baby. Dead is dead, right? Muhammad Ali changed the world for 30 years. He's dead. Dead forever now. Dead. Forever. 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 Listen, I'm running short on time. I'm going to bring in Keith Neumeier. I ran into Keith. Jared, if you could real quick, pull up there on the – this story was on Sons of Liberty. Pull that up there. Bradley Dean's group, Sons of Liberty, just did an article on Keith and his wife, Ray, who had the two children stolen from him from Child Protective Services in Montana. I was going to play all this. I don't have time to play it all. We'll make it available in the queue. You can go back and see it. Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty, did it. Glenn Beck covered it a month ago, maybe it was now. What's going on with government Child Protective Services, right? I'm sorry, was it not in there? I hate it when I give you a link and it doesn't come up. I do research in the morning to make this thing go smoothly, okay? There it is. Montana CPS, LGBTQ supporting anti-Christian workers kidnap kids because parents taught Christian values. Yeah, put this in the link, Jared. Somebody said, we don't have time to read down through it. This is about Keith and Ray Neumeyer, who had their children stolen by Child Protective Services. Now, Keith, before you come on, listen to me. I'm giving you some great advice. Don't accuse anybody of being a homo. Don't accuse anybody of anything. Just tell the story of what's going on, because they will use this then, Keith, against you if you say unscurrilous things about them or scurrilous things about them. So just tell what happened and leave all the adjectives and adverbs out about all the people who did it, okay? Come on in. What the heck happened, Keith? You got to talk fast.
All right. So real quick, my wife and I had two beautiful children. And adopted. We had
adopted. It's important to understand they're adopted from where, Keith?
Ukraine. And we, of course, met all these requirements to adopt, spend doing that. And we had these kids in private Christian schools. We did all kinds of stuff for these kids. And then suddenly, our daughter had some issues adjusting. And suddenly the next thing, CPS comes in and they just mysteriously say, oh, you people are just awful, terrible people. You can't do anything. You're all whatever. And suddenly this caseworker comes in and says, oh, you guys are, you all shouldn't see your kids. And he's just so brutal and so hateful. And all along, we're wondering, what's this guy's problem? Well, friends and people come to find out by checking out on this guy's social media stuff that he proudly posts.
He doesn't like Christians very well. He's kind of an anti-Christian guy. I'm trying to save you here, Keith, from saying something you shouldn't say, okay? And wants to do everything they can. He wants to appears that he wants to do everything he can to get the children into a more safe environment, which would be away from you religious freaks. Would that be safe?
Amen.
And so what happened, Keith?
And come to find out, he's, you know, he posts, he's a bitter ex-minister who got kicked out because he didn't feel his denomination was friendly enough towards LGBT. So he comes, he starts making allegations, and then we have this other person involved who is siding with him.
Let me stop you a minute. How long has this been going on, Keith?
This has been going on for 4 years, but when the damage is done and we're coming to find out why, then all of a sudden we find out, oh, these people have a hidden agenda. These people they're posting all this stuff, to spewing hate towards Christians, towards our president. And
let me help you because I'm a professional, Keith. So you find out, you go to their Facebook page, you go to the social media, and you find out all these things that these social workers are saying about Christians and Christianity and Trump supporters. Yada. You find all this stuff of these people who are handling your case. Am I telling the story right, Keith?
Exactly.
And what do? They snatch from you your two adopted Ukrainian children, right?
Right.
And convince your kids to say how miserable they were, that you were mean to them, and took away visitation rights and adopted them out. Am I on right page here, Keith? What's going on?
Well, they to our knowledge, they haven't adopted them. They never succeeded, and both kids have wanted, you know, desperately to come back. But it's not about the best interest of the kids. It's about what these people, it's about their idea of social justice.
What do you think, Bobby Lee? Hey, Bobby Lee, what do you think? Does this sound real to you, Bobby Lee, who spent a bunch of time in this child protective service environment? Does this sound real to you, Bobby? I thought Bobby's still in here. I'm sorry, Keith.
Oh, no worries. So, you know, people ask, well, how could this happen? Well, like Cone said,
you certainly did something wrong now. You just, the government wouldn't do this. You did something wrong, didn't you, Keith? That's what, right, Keith, right?
Nope. Taught these kids. We give these kids everything that, you know, we knew how to give them. And the same caseworker is working to give a three-time felon who raped a girl his kids back. He can't help him enough. So that's him showing his discrimination and his hatred.
You're fighting against the system. So, folks, listen. I'm going out there. I met Keith when I was in Kalispell. Sorry to hurry it up, Keith. People have short attention spans. Bear with me, buddy. I'm going out to Kalispell this weekend. Helena, Montana. I'm flying out there Sunday night. Going to be there Monday, Tuesday, coming back on Wednesday. And we're going to try to raise even more attention and more stink in Helena, which is the capital of Montana. We're going to target certain organizations, certain people, and try to raise awareness to help the Neumeyers get their children back. Now, if there are any of you who are out in that area at all, close, 3-hour drive, 4-hour, I don't know how, we could use your help. We could use your help. We all know that the more people you have, the better it is. How about this one? How about somebody pick up the phone and call Chuck Baldwin for me? Would you do that? Chuck Baldwin's right there in Kalispell. He's all against the government and everything. Well, come on, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. Come on, man. Show your cards here, will you? Help us get involved. Keith, have you tried to get a hold of Chuck Baldwin and get them to help you out there?
You know, I've got to say honestly, I have. I've emailed, I've called, I've been to his church, but he won't get off the fence. I've he's done other things like this with other people, but I'm just shocked he just won't get off the fence.
So, folks, on this article, Sons of Liberty article that we're putting in the chat, is all the details. It's all right there. You just go read that Sons of Liberty, and you'll see what's going on. But see, I'm doubling back around to where we started, right? This ungodly, unrighteous, evil government agencies. They're everywhere. They're everywhere, see? And the church is bowing to them. So we're going to go. I'm going to go to Helena, Montana next week. I'm going to spend 2 days traveling and 2 days on the ground with Keith and some other folks out there trying to raise the awareness that Keith and his wife, Ray Neumeyer, deserve their children back. And we need your help. Now, Keith, we have to figure out whether we do a phone. We'll get on top of all this, whether we need to make a phone, start making some phone calls, what we need to do. But this kind of stuff will not end if we continue to sit quietly on our hands. Keith, I've walked all over here for about 5 minutes. Come on in and kind of wrap this thing up here.
Okay, so it's just been a blessing ever since I met you, and God has just convicted us that we didn't deserve this fight. We didn't deserve this. But he's put us in this situation because he has work for us to do. And part of it is, boy, I got to tell you, Coach, I was on the other side of things. I was like most people say, no, the government's good. You know, usually things work out. And now I've seen that since we have allowed, Christians have been told to sit back and let evil people, you know, get in positions of power. And then like Coach said, we're just amazed when these people in positions of power do evil things.
They're wicked. They're wicked. Robert Klaus, get in there, wind us up. We'll talk a little bit more about this, Keith. If you guys are out there and you want to help, somebody out in that area wants to help, please get a hold of them. Just email me. I'm going to be there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I'm going to be there next week. Anybody who can make it, we would love for you to be part of it. Robert, go ahead and give us a December 3rd. Thanks, Keith. We'll be in touch here, man. The information will be in the queue down here. Those two articles, put those in there, one from The Blaze, one from Sons of Liberty Media. And Robert's going to take that today on December 3rd.
Okay, we have December 3rd. Here's a quote by Lawrence Peter. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to the garage makes you a car. You know, it's like the church is a car without gas with a dead battery parked in the garage, collecting dust, going nowhere. You know, that's what the problem is, as you said, Coach. What has Jesus Christ done for you lately? That's a statement that Troy Bond always says in Raven Ministry out in New Orleans when he preaches to people on the street. What's Christ done for you lately? Do you know that he came to set the captives free? He came to deliver from bondage. He came to bring peace to those who are troubled, rest to all who are weary and heavy laden. He came to offer an abundant life now by being our loving Lord, as well as eternal life hereafter by being our personal Savior. He came to deliver the religious from religion. He came to call out an army of saints to destroy the works of the devil who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, when's the last time you heard this preached in church?
Yeah.
Just as the Heavenly Father sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus has sent his own into the world. The glory which the Father gave him, he has given to those who follow him. I mean, there's no sense in sitting back, being silent and passive and defeated and overcome. Amen. We were sent just as Jesus was sent. He was an overcomer. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and Amen. Recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And that's what you're doing, Coach. You're going out to help proclaim release to these the families that's had their kids stolen. That's what Amen. Christians are to do. Yes. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Likewise, we've been anointed as well to go about doing good in healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Keith Neumeyer's being oppressed by the devil.
That's for sure. And the works that Jesus did, greater works will those do who believe in him. And believe means obey, means follow. Because Jesus ascended into heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit to empower them. We got the power. We just need to use it. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day to proclaim salvation, deliverance, rescue, rather than neglect our so great a salvation, which we see in church. Now is the time for Christ to live in you, the hope of glory, and for his Holy Spirit to fill you, manifesting his glory.
Amen, baby. Amen, amen, amen. The needs are so great all across this land. And it's, you know, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what battles to fight. There are a lot of them. I get requests every day from people wanting me to help. Hey, folks, the devil is after our children. He's after our children. Everywhere you look, it's the children. The drag queens in the libraries, the teaching of sodomy in public schools, the destruction of the family, the destruct child protective services. We need children protected from protective services. That's what we need. We need families protected. This is a battle worth
Amen
fighting.
For that. Amen. Battle worth
fighting, and we're humbled to do. More information, we'll put it in the show notes here for you. And just continue to pray for us. Pray for Mike and Polly and for Mel and for Denny and for Todd. And just, God, just the devil's a freaking liar. Time for the church to rise up, be the church. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.